You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Well, good morning, Alan. Welcome back to Canada.
Thank you very much. It's nice being back. We had a good time in Mexico. The weather was gorgeous.
Yeah, you got some color.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, it's not so hard to take. We wake up and it's 25, and within, you know, by 11 o'clock, it's 30 degrees out.
Oh, that's tough. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, as a matter of fact, on our last day in the sun, all of a sudden, this random cloud sort of just drifted over. And my wife said, I think it's raining. And I looked in the pool and I went, yeah, it is. But we were sitting under sun umbrellas, which did the job.
Sure.
And it blew over, so it was great. So, not a whole lot of exciting vehicles down there, I must say.
Not a lot of driving going on either?
Well, every cab is the same white Nissan Versa.
Yes, yes.
I did see some vehicles, though. I didn't write them down. There's ones that I don't even know what that is. You know, like strange, I'm guessing, Japanese or Korean imported Asian vehicles.
And it's a unique market. They get unique vehicles in Mexico.
Well, the big thing in Mexico was, I mean, to their own credit, was they said, if you want to sell a car here, you got to make it here. Or at least that's the way it was.
That's the way it was, yeah.
So, you know, no matter whether it was, again, Japanese or Korean or German or American, there was a plant there.
Yep.
You know, and it worked well. Although I did see a thing, a Volkswagen called a Fox something or other. Kind of looked like a little SUV. Kind of neat. But no electric vehicles, which I was surprised.
Probably not.
No,
probably not.
I don't know why. I mean, their infrastructure, I guess, is good. But so it was a good time.
Excellent. Excellent. Anytime I'm in Southern California, I see Nissan Micras come up from Mexico because they never sold those in the States.
Okay.
And it's always funny because Americans have no idea what that car is.
Oh, okay. And as a matter of fact, there also was on our property a caravan with Alberta plates on it.
Oh, that's a long drive.
Yes, for sure, for sure. I mean, although most of the people there drove bicycles in and out of the complex where we were, we didn't do that. And and they're serious about their speed bumps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my! In fact, they have two different varieties. They have your normal speed bump like we have here.
Sure.
And they have this other thing called a trope or something, and that's where it actually goes negative. So there's a big dip in the road, and there's two that are adjacent to each other. And apparently, if you whack it, and it's not a smooth transition.
Of course.
So if you whack it hard, you flatten tires. So they take that very serious.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. All right, speaking of serious things going on, always drive hot cars, right?
Yeah,
but,
I do.
But hot in terms of performance.
Yes.
As opposed to stolen vehicles.
Yeah, definitely not stolen.
Which you would still have to drive fast, I guess, if you're being pursued.
Yeah, but you can't outrun the police radios. That's the problem.
True.
Or helicopters.
Do you know how many cars were stolen in Toronto last year?
No idea.
9,594. That's about 25 a day.
Yeah, well, we were talking earlier, it happens in my neighborhood a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, Midtown is crazy because, you know, people have their garages full of junk, so they park their $100,000 SUV outside, and then lo and behold, it gets stolen.
And if you talk to people who have had cars stolen, you could next ask them, was it your first time?
that's exactly what happens now.
Yes. People love that car. They buy it. The thief loves it, takes it, and they get another one, and then it gets stolen.
Yep.
Well, there's got to be a way to prevent that, or at least to slow it down. And we've got someone on the show today that's going to help us.
Yeah. Previously, we had Dale Robinson from Auto Watch Canada. I missed that show. But they've got some cool anti-theft technology, some really robust stuff.
Exactly, and it's not just the club, which is not a bad idea.
This is next level.
Yeah, and if you ever watch, people always post videos now, all the time. Mm-hmm. So here's my car getting stolen because I have it on my cameras.
Yes,
and of course, I guess because it's COVID, nobody questions a guy in a mask.
That's right, of course.
A mask and a hoodie. What are you going to see? Right, I think he's about 5'9". That's about all I can tell you.
That's it.
And they get them within minutes. You know, people are amazed. Like, no smashed windows, nothing.
No, I heard it's about 30 seconds, and it's all electronic now. It's pretty wild. Yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff. So, no, you know, you don't need to break into a car anymore. It's all done electronically.
Now, if your car has been vandalized or broken down and you need parts, we've got someone else on the show, too.
Troy is calling in from Kenny Upol, and also my pal Dave Pratt from Speed Academy on YouTube, who also loves driving fast.
Well, speaking of fast, we're going to have to get out of here because I hear the music, and that means we got to bail. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman. Finally back from vacation. Very excited to have you back, Al.
Thank you very much. It's been a nice break, but lots going on. You know, even on my holidays, of course, I took my phone with. I mean, everybody does.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know how many different news stories we get, you know, on the wire.
Yes.
Throughout a week and different magazines. But big lawsuit going on. Tesla owners. Not happy.
No. I think that's inevitable, but I don't really follow Tesla all that much. I know you
boohooed them, and I didn't really know a lot of people did have them. And in fact, I thought they were like pretty much bulletproof, but I'm seeing that that's not the case, obviously.
No.
And then on top of that, because I had to reach out, because, I mean, it's still not a lot of people driving them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't stop strangers in the street, you know.
Especially when you're a little creepy out.
Yeah. But I did ask a relative who has an X.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Y, which is the gullwing door.
That's the Y.
The Y. And they said it was perfect, except just recently they had a suspension issue.
Yep.
And I went, oh, and what did you do? Well, I took it to the dealer because I thought I had to, and $4,000 later, you know, they got shock absorber changed, and I went,
oh, that's nice.
That sounds like an awful lot of money for...
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Well, that's what's going on in the States now, is people are saying, okay, I'll buy your car, and when it's under warranty, I'll come back to you, but you can't force me to come back when I'm out of warranty.
Yes.
I guess they just haven't made the parts accessible to outside dealers.
That's exactly it. And, you know, they want to control all of that to their customers' detriment, I think. And, mm-hmm. you know, on top of that, they do strange things. So, for example, if you're the first owner of a car
right.
and you order certain options that are enabled through software,
mm-hmm.
when you turn that car back in or they get their hands on it or they know that there's an ownership change,
right.
they turn off those features so they have to be purchased again.
Wow, so that's the over-air thing they do.
Yes.
But a lot of people are getting into that. I mean, on the plus side, I could see it because I know the guy at Young Steels, Mark, mm-hmm. and who said, oh, yeah, well, we can do updates on people's cars and they don't have to come in, which is a lot easier.
Yes.
But they're using that same technology, as you say, to hold back or to stop the cars from doing certain things.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And not that other manufacturers are getting into that practice, but what some manufacturers are doing now are doing subscription services, particularly for things like navigation.
Right, so it's a money stream for the manufacturer.
Yeah, so they've seen other businesses, other industries do uh-huh. this, you know, monthly recurring revenue business model thing.
Right.
Just like Sirius XM is in every car and Sirius gets their money every month.
Yeah.
Manufacturers are doing that now as well, and I'm starting to see it roll out in new cars, particularly with navigation, not with other features yet, but with navigation, for example.
Have they kept it on the down low? I mean,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Right. So, in other words, you know, when you're buying the car, the salesman's showing you the car,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't tell you, by the way. He just says it comes with the following,
mm-hmm.
and I guess for that first 6 months or first year, it's covered,
right? That's
right.
And then one day, it says, please subscribe if you want your navigation system to work.
At which point you're going, what happened? I bought the car. Yeah. I own the car. How come I have to pay again?
Exactly. So it's a funny business, but we're going to start seeing that roll out a little bit more, and that's going to be more than just navigation. That'll be features. So if you want your heated seats to work, you're going to have to pay.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different world. I'm not a fan of this at all, and I think what car customers, car buyers need to do is speak up. That's the only way it's going
to
change.
Well, I bought the line, of course, is that to do upgrades, which is great. In fact, again, this fellow that who has a Tesla loves it. He said, in fact, he didn't have to pay, so I don't know how he got away with it.
Mm.
But he said, all of a sudden, my car will do the following, and they send me a list, and I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
What was even better was they didn't send him a bill.
That's even better.
I guess probably it's like the first one is free. You know, it's like that old drug culture movie,
that's right.
You know.
Yeah, here's
yes,
a little taste.
Here, you'll like this. And then, you know, they say, well, if you'd like to continue, you got to send us some money.
That's right.
All right, speaking of paying bills, we got to get out of here. And we're going to have Dave Pratt on next. He's a great guy and a YouTuber. Brian knows him. And I'm sure he's going to be exciting and have some amazing stories. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, finally back from Mexico. We did miss you, Al. Your chair was kept warm by a couple of friends, but we still missed you.
I heard, as a matter of fact, that Mr. Steve said to me, have Brian show you the video with Carrie doing your intro.
Yes.
Apparently it's hysterical.
Yes, it's very good. It's very good. Yeah, enough about that. Al's finally back from vacation, but on the line with us is my pal Dave Pratt from the Speed Academy channel on YouTube. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're fantastic. It's a lovely day here in Toronto. Now, some of our listeners know I have a YouTube channel. Your channel is very different than mine because you guys actually work on cars. I'm not mechanically inclined, so I just I'm a dumb racing driver, so I just drive them.
I've got a bit of that too, but luckily my business partner is mechanically inclined, so I kind of ride his coattails on that, and then I drive the cool stuff that we get to build. So
you come up with the crazy ideas, and he's the one who actually does them.
Yes, sadly that's often the case, although he has plenty of crazy ideas himself, so sometimes I get dragged along for the ride.
So you've built a bunch of track oriented stuff out of all the stuff you built over the years. What's been your favorite?
Man, that's a tough. That's kind of like asking who your favorite child is. But I'm still nostalgic for the first car we built on the channel, which was in 2014, 2015, which was a Honda S2000. It was the cheapest, probably the cheapest. We called it the cheapest S2000 in the world at the time. I bought it for $4,500 from a buddy of mine who had like parked it on a side road in Toronto and kind of left it for dead there. It looked like raccoons had been living in the interior, and it was a salvage title car that he brought in from the States. So it needed a lot of love, but we put about a full summer worth of work into it. We replaced every nut and bolt and bushing and ball joint on the whole car and turned it into a really fun street car and a track car. So we took it to our local track here at Toronto Motorsports Park and just tested it every step of the way. So every time we'd make a change to the car, we would test it, and it got better and better the more time we put into it. And it was just a blast to drive. I love those cars, the way the gearbox feels and the way that car feels on the street and at the track. It's a very visceral driving experience. So I'm definitely nostalgic for that car. It'd be high on my list of ones to buy back if I ever get the chance to.
Now, is this a case of you just souping them up, so to speak, or you do a whole transplant? Like, would you pull a drivetrain out and put in a small block, for example, in that same car?
We do that. We have done quite a few engine swaps. On that particular car, we didn't. We left the S2000 engine in there because it's a pretty special engine already. But mm-hmm. I have a 1977 Toyota Celica, or Celica, depending on what country you live in.
Yep.
And we are in the midst of putting a modern Toyota motor in it. So it's a Beams 3 SGE motor out of a Japanese model called a Toyota IS200. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Lexus IS300, but it's a 2-liter four-cylinder engine instead. But it's a high-output motor. It puts out like 207 horsepower and revs to 8,500 RPM. So it's a pretty special engine, and it'll really bring that old 77 Celica to life. And we're deep in the throes of that right now. I think we just published a video 10 minutes ago on our YouTube channel about that particular project, which has been a long-standing one. It's sort of been a passion project of mine. So it's sort of come and gone on the channel. We work on it when we have a minute here and a minute there. So it's been a long drawn out build, but it's one of the engine swapped cars that we've done, but we've done many, V8 swaps. We've done four-cylinder turbo swaps. We've done inline, you know, turbos like the 2JZ motor out of the Toyota Supra. We've put into a BMW M3, so
really?
Like an E46 generation, so mid-2000s era.
How many BMW owners got upset?
we do hurt the feelings of some purists, no question about it. But, you know, that's a really interesting car. We bought that very high mileage car with a motor that needed basically a full rebuild. So it wasn't like we were taking a healthy engine out of a car and throwing it in the scrap heap. It was kind of scrap at the time. So it was a perfect candidate for a swap like this. And our audience is kind of, you know, expecting us to do things like that. So we didn't attract too much hate for it. You know, in some ways it was fixing the Achilles heel of that car by putting a really stout, reliable engine in what is a great chassis. So from our point, from our, you know, demented point of view, we were making that car better. And thankfully, some of our viewers seem to agree with us. And you know, it also like doubled the power that car made. So that's never a bad thing in our books either.
No question. So you took it to the track before and after?
We do. Yeah. Generally speaking, we'll like do a baseline test of the car at the track, so we kind of see where we're starting, and then as the builds progress, we go back and see how much quicker it's getting, or, you know, and also we're honest about how much worse we're making it in terms of, you know, NVH, you know, noise and road harshness and ride quality. All of that degrades if you turn your car into too much of a track car. So we are honest about those things. And as we get older, we're trying to make our cars quieter and a little more civilized on the street and a little less, you know, race car for the street. So, but yeah, we try to be as honest as we can with our audience about the fact that if you're prepping it for the track, you're making compromises to how quiet and comfortable it's going to be as a daily driver.
No, exactly. In fact, I'm amazed by the hooligan kind of cars I am seeing out there. I was driving home from, you know, I play music for a hobby and jam on Thursday nights, and I'm heading down the 401, and all of a sudden I hear this sound that's like incredible, and a shot, this guy goes by, and they're always high-end. I mean, these are like Mercedes, BMW, sounding like it's a track car, you know, like I'm
sure.
Watching the Winston Cup, and he's going crazy, and I went, they just ruined a good car. Like,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But you, like, I could say, you know, fine if it's your toy, but you don't want a daily driver to be, you know, hanging out like that.
That's the thing. It's so easy to ruin a fine road car by going, you know, two track spec, David. As you know, the things you need to perform on track don't necessarily work on the street either.
No, especially not in the streets where we live. I mean, Pothole City, well, our shop is in Stony Creek, where, you know, you need a Hummer or a Jeep to dodge the potholes or soak them up. So, yeah, we're certainly becoming more and more conscious of the fact that, you know, these cars, as we modify them, are not enjoyable as street cars if we make them too stiff or too low or too loud. So, you know, there are cars that we still do that with because our inner 12-year-olds tell us to, but for the most part, we are building our cars more and more now to be nice street cruisers, still fun and, you know, fast, but not too harsh, I guess, is maybe the way to put it. And there's certainly, I mean, you can buy brand new cars off the lot now that are so loud and so fast, it's kind of insane. So, you know, we tend to play with cars from the 90s or the early 2000s because they're simpler and easier to work on. There's not a lot of, you know, computer stuff to deal with. So that's sort of our preference. And
all right, Dave, we're going to have to bail. What's your YouTube channel?
Oh, YouTube channel is called Speed Academy. So yeah, if you just jump on YouTube and have a search for Speed Academy, you'll find it there.
Well, Dave, thanks very much for joining us. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here with Alan Gelman. And joining us on the phone is Troy DeHannock from Kenny Upel. Troy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
We're doing good. You get a million people out there, even in the cold weather, to bust knuckles?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell our listeners what Kenny Upel is.
Okay, so Kenny Upel is a serve automotive recycling company. We are actually Canada's largest self-serve automotive recycling company. Basically, what the concept is we have a network all across Ontario and Quebec of different locations, 26 in total. Mm-hmm. And we purchase cars, usually end-of-life vehicles. We bring them in, we depollute them, so we take out the gas, the oil, the transmission fluid, antifreeze, Freon, all that kind of stuff. And then we set the cars out in our yard in a very organized and safe manner for customers to come in and essentially bring their tools and pull their own parts off.
But at the same time, do you sell the parts? Do you just do any dismantling at all, or you strictly leave it up to the amateur?
No, we leave it. It's 100% U-Pull service. The only parts that we do sell is if we identify like new tires, good batteries that we run through a strict process to ensure that we can put our name behind them. We offer a 2-year warranty on the batteries. We sell washer fluid. We sell coolant. And certain locations actually do sell whole cars for people to just drive away.
But okay, again, so it's not a traditional auto wrecker. It's like, if I own a body shop, I can't phone you and order a fenders and a door. You don't have that.
You can't order a fender or a door, but what we can do is we can tell you exactly how many cars of that exact year, make, and model we have in our yard.
Right.
And we can also provide a photograph on our website of what the vehicle looked like front and back when it went into the yard and the date that it went into the yard.
Oh, my God, it's the right color. It's even the right color.
Yeah. So our full inventory is actually available online at kennyupull.com. Where anyone can go and search for their year, make, and model vehicle in any one of our branches. And we also have a really unique program called Alert Me, where you can sign up in our Kenny Garage for, you'll receive an alert with a photo of the vehicle that you're looking for the moment we set it in the yard. So you can be the first to come and pull parts off of it if you want.
All right, question. I mean, the parts sometimes are large and heavy. What happens then?
Well, we have wheelbarrows and carts that are all rated up to about 800 pounds in the yard for people to use, and we also have A-frames in all of our yards, so if you want to pull a motor out of the vehicle, then it's there to assist you. The only thing we don't allow in the yards is torches, grinders, or jacks. We set the cars in a safe manner, mm-hmm. so we want to ensure that they stay safe and people aren't jacking up the cars, and then torches and grinders can cause fires, and obviously that's bad for business.
Troy, I've heard, and I'm not mechanically inclined, but I've heard that on occasion you can come in as a customer and basically carry out as many parts as you can physically for a set fee. Is that right?
We don't participate in that program. Other recyclers traditionally have. Now our prices are already the best on the market. We're competitive with absolutely everyone. So there's really, with us, with our brand, there's really no need for that kind of a program.
Now, question. So I found that you have this car that I'm looking for, and I want to take the fender off or the door. You price it before I get there?
We can. Our price list is actually available for each of the branches online. When you come in, you do pay a $4 fee and sign a waiver to go into the yard. Mm-hmm. And we can give the customer service team can provide pricing on absolutely anything you want before you head in. And the beautiful part is that it's not vehicle-specific, it's part-specific. So a fender's a fender, whether it comes off of a Honda Civic or a BMW, it's one set price.
Even though market price might actually be different from one fender to another?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. I remember I changed cars and my insurance jacked up and I went, it's the same car. He said, no, it's not.
Exactly.
They said, did you ever price a hood out for a Volkswagen Scirocco as opposed to a Rabbit? I went, no. Well, check it out. You'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I said, it's the same four bolts holding on. Too bad. And so, so like you say, it's basically, you come in, you dismantle it, you take a part off, and you haul it away, and you find out beforehand how much it costs. That's great.
Yeah, that's basically the concept. And like I said, we do have, in certain locations, we do sell vehicles. Sometimes someone will, sell us a vehicle that we identify as still runs and drives just fine. There's plenty of life left in the vehicle. And we will resell those vehicles. So, if someone's looking for a car for college or just an economical option to get around, mm-hmm. certain locations we have that to offer as well.
Now, where are you in terms of, we're obviously in downtown Toronto. How close are your facilities to us?
We have 11 locations across Ontario right now, mm-hmm. soon to be 12. So if you're in downtown Toronto, your closest options would be, we have a location in Ajax, mm-hmm. one in Newmarket. One of our largest operations in Ontario is in Hamilton. And we have a location in Peterborough as well. And then beyond that, we're in North Bay, Ottawa, Cornwall, Sudbury, St. Catharines, London, and soon to be Windsor as well.
All right. I mean, weather conditions, all this work is done outside, eh? You don't have any inside facilities to do this?
No, we do not have inside facilities, but we do our very best to make the yards as accessible as possible. So we do snow removal, we salt the yards, we put sand down to keep things nice and safe. We make sure that we cater to our customers as
best as possible. Our yards are very clean, very well organized. You're not going to find parts littered all over the place. We do actively clean the yard on a daily basis. So it makes it as good of an experience as you can possibly have when you're pulling your own parts.
And do you tie the dogs up or feed them well?
That's a, unfortunately, that's a practice for about 20 years ago.
Now, Troy, I'm assuming that customers have to bring their own tools, but let's say somebody loses their 10-millimeter socket, as they always do. Can you help them out?
Certain branches do have an assortment of tools that we can loan to you. We don't keep an inventory of the tools because, you know, sometimes we can lend a tool out and that one can go missing too.
No way.
We do our very best to help our customers. Now, when you pay to get into a Kenny U pull, that gets you into any Kenny U pull and all day. So it's a one-time fee for the day. So if you do visit one of our branches and you identify some parts that you want to get and you don't necessarily have the tools, you can leave and go home and get the tools or go to a Canadian Tire and buy, you know, pick up a tool that you need, and you can return the same day and pull the part. Or, as I said, it also gets you into any branch that day. So if you're in St. Catharines, you don't find the part that you're looking for, but you know that Hamilton has cars for that that you're looking for, you can head down the road to Hamilton and they'll let you in as well.
But no torch. All you got is to use is a BFH, right?
No. You can bring in Sawzalls.
Oh, you can bring. Okay, okay.
You can bring a Sawzall. Sawzalls, they're different than grinders, so Sawzalls are perfectly fine.
Ah, okay. That's getting a little bit better. But although at the same time, I mean, you don't want to see Buddy hacking up a good part to get the part that he wants. I mean, do you have people that walk around to sort of, you know, not administer, but look around and watch people are doing to obviously make sure they're doing it in a safe way, but also not causing too much damage as well?
You know, not directly, but we do have, there's almost always staff members out in the yard doing work.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest with you, because we keep our yards so clean,
yes,
and so customer-friendly oriented, mm-hmm, we do find that a good majority of our customer base will actually identify customers that are causing damage within our yards to our staff.
Okay.
And again, it's because, you know, we provide garbages, the roads are easily accessible. It's very clean. A lot of our yards actually have reclaimed asphalt as a surface that you're walking on, so you're not trudging through mud.
Mm-hmm.
We're really proud in knowing that our customers actually take pride in shopping with us as well, and we really appreciate them.
Question two, in terms of warranty, for example, I take an alternator off one of the cars there, and I go put it on my car, and it doesn't work. What happens then?
So we offer 30 days for an exchange or an in-store credit.
Uh-huh.
And that's across the board on everything except for tires. Mm-hmm. Tires are final sale.
Right.
But that covers a fender to a motor, a transmission, alternator, light, you name it.
Oh, good to know.
What's the most unusual or exotic kind of car you've seen in the last little while?
We get all sorts. One of our yards actually had a small school bus in it. We've seen Porsches come through. There's a Bronco in our St. Catharines location currently.
A new one or an old one?
An old one.
Oh, an old one. Wow. Oh, okay. I thought you meant like a brand new one.
Yeah, no, the Hamilton location has a Hummer H2 in it currently.
Mm-hmm.
We get just a wide variety of vehicles.
All right. Now, how do I look you up?
So just KennyUPull.com.
Kenny U Pull, like the letter U, of course.
Yes,
and
sir.
Pull, okay, easy enough. And that'll hook you up to any location. It'll say, put in your postal code, and we'll tell you where to close the store is.
Well, I like the idea of registering for cars that you're interested in. That is a brilliant idea, Troy.
Yeah, and you know, one other thing that's, that our company really prides itself on is that we're an industry leader in health and safety and environmental standards. So we don't cut corners, and we have all state-of-the-art equipment to make sure that we're properly protecting the environment. We are a recycler, and the key to recycling is actually, you know, preserving the environment, and it's about sustainability. So that's one thing that we're proud of.
So if a guy loses his finger, you want to save it. You're going to recycle that finger.
Exactly.
Okay. We've got a cooler with ice. Here, you take it. Go to the hospital. We'll see you next time. Kenny, thank you very much. It's always fun.
Thanks a lot.
Well, see, I'm calling him Kenny because it's Kenny.
It's
Kenny,
Troy.
Kenny.
It's Troy.
It's Troy.
Troy, thanks for joining us.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back. Wait, I can't dial. My finger's bleeding.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gellman here in studio. He's no longer in Mexico. Nice to have you back, Al.
Hola.
And Yeah, hola, really?
Hola.
Okay, we're going to turn to a Spanish program now.
Dos cervezas, por favor. Well, it's kind of early for that.
It's a bit early. Yeah. It's a bit early. Joining us on the phone is Dale Robinson from AutoWatch Canada. And Dale, you've got some very cool anti-theft vehicle technology.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is a real issue. We talked about this. This is a real issue, auto theft in Ontario, let alone Canada and the world.
Yeah, let me just to give the numbers out quickly. Toronto Police reported in 2022, 9,594 vehicles were stolen compared to the year before where they only got 6,000. I don't know why that difference, but it's a whole lot of cars. That works out to 25 vehicles a day, eh?
Yeah, we have a police officer we did their Durango for last weekend, and he said they're averaging 5 in Brampton area alone.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah,
why do you think the big influx?
It's all about money, I guess. I mean, they figured out the technology on how to get into these cars, you know, key cloning, fob cloning. I don't know what it is, but it's an issue.
But obviously a lot easier than it used to be.
Yes. Maybe not back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, but certainly in the last, 10 years.
Well, today we're seeing, and we see this all the time. So, somebody, posts a video from their security camera, and basically a couple guys walk up to a car, and in 30 seconds, they're gone in that same car. Now, your technology really is a serious deterrent to that kind of theft.
Yeah, our technology puts the car completely to sleep. There is no frequency emitted that they can pick up on with their scanners.
Now, that's exactly what they do, eh? They have a scanner, which is kind of like a radio, and they go close to the car, close to the house, pick up the code from either your key fob or from the car itself, and then they know how to clone it, and that's how they get your car, right? Now, your device makes that impossible.
Yes, it puts the car completely to sleep. Once our system is installed, there is no frequency emitted through any way. The car is completely immobilized.
Oh, question. So let's say someone came close to the house and somehow got your key code, right? Could they open your door?
Yes, they could.
So they could get in the car, but the car's not going to start.
The car will not start or will not move, depending on the vehicle itself, until a private PIN code, same as your bank card that only you know, is entered into the system of the car. Then Ghost comes alive and you can drive away.
Perfect. And how long does it take for you guys to do the installation?
Depending on the vehicle, we're 2 to 5 hours, believe it or not. It's very technical. We're very thorough. We're very methodical in how it's installed. And we have numerous tests we do once the install is done to ensure it's completely immobilized.
Now, I saw one in the olden days where there'd be some ugly buttons or a keypad somewhere on the dashboard. You don't have this kind of stuff anymore, do you?
No, we are one of the only systems that uses no key fob, no relays, anything like that. Everything that you do in the vehicle with your PIN code is a factory button right out of the manufacturer. It could be a host of different things. It could be your cruise control on, off. It could be a window up. It could be a window down. It could be a rear defrost. There's a multitude of. And you can use a PIN code from 4 to 20 pushes, depending on how good your memory is.
That wouldn't work for me.
So question, no. if it's not, let's say somehow you forgot it. How do we get around that?
We have, when you pick up your vehicle after Ghost is installed, you're given a card, basically, a card that has virtually a scratch spot on the back that will give you a temporary code until you can get to us to re-enter and reprogram codes. That we do not recommend you keep in the car, obviously. You keep that in your house.
Okay, but so that magic number is only going to work one time kind of thing.
That's correct.
All right, so question. I have a nice car. I go to a nice restaurant. They have valet parking. How does that work?
We actually do have a valet mode installed in every car. So whether it's going to the restaurant or whether it's going to the dealer for service,
you
can enter a sequence of codes. It disarms the Ghost temporarily. The car can be moved, can be driven, but it cannot proceed over 60 kilometers an hour. Otherwise, the Ghost will activate, sort of like a hijack mode, and the vehicle will immobilize itself.
So you're actually shutting the Ghost down so the car reverts back to working with the normal key?
Correct.
Okay. That makes it easy.
That is some cool technology. Now, this works with any kind of vehicle, right, Dale?
Yes, we work with all the major manufacturers in the world. I think there's less than five cars that we cannot do. Here at my one installation shop, we specialize in hybrid vehicles, which a lot of people will not touch. Mm-hmm. So anything from Toyota, Lexus, Range Rover, Ford, Chrysler. We do a lot of Rams now, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a vehicle we can't do almost.
This Ghost product, even though it's, I just learned about it recently. It's relatively new to this part of the world. It's very popular in other parts of the world.
Our base major company is out of the UK, and the system came between a couple of guys and a couple of companies out of the UK and South Africa, believe it or not. And it is massive over there. We have over 1 million installs worldwide.
Can you give me a rough idea what the cost is on that?
It depends on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. We range anywhere from $1,295 to it could be upwards of almost $2,000.
But for the most part, you're talking about a car that's worth $50,000, $60,000, or
$200,000
plus. Exactly.
We do a lot of Range Rovers.
Ah, so basically, it's less than the insurance deductible.
That's correct.
and on top of that,
with all the major insurance companies, we're IBC approved, mm-hmm. and most of them are given discounts if you have a system installed.
Well, and on top of that, it saves you, like right now, a huge headache because, if your car gets stolen, good luck getting another one.
Well, I'm also, my other end of the business is in the automotive sales industry, and we are now waiting 6-8 months for F-150s, Range Rovers. We waited 6 months to replace a Range Rover that was unfortunately stolen from one of our customers. So, yes, it's a big problem.
Yeah, I don't think people realize it, too, though, that your insurance company will only give you a rental for a certain length of time, eh?
We just ran into that with the gentleman on a Range Rover. We ended up putting one of our cars in the road for him because he's a good client, because they only gave him a certain amount of time, and he couldn't get a new car. They want to pay him out. They want to be done with it.
Now, Dale, how do people find more information about Ghost and AutoWatch Canada?
You can email me direct, or you can go on our website, which is autowatchcanada.com. There's an inquiry on there, and I'd be more than happy to take direct calls.
So 1-800-646-3132, is that the right one?
You can use that, or you can use the 905-306-9300 and get me direct.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right,
get your head back underneath the hood. You got to get that car done by the end of the day.
It's going. It's almost done.
This is Dave. All right. And gone to the right guy, not to the wrong guy.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Dale. Appreciate it. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, and in studio with Alan Gelman, finally back from vacation. And it's a big racing weekend right now. 12 hours of Sebring sports car races on.
Going on right now?
Right now. Started 10 o'clock, so we missed the start of that.
Is Jimmy running in that?
No, he's running in Le Mans.
Okay.
In the NASCAR stock car that's running.
Oh, yes. Is that this weekend?
No, that's in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's they've got a practice weekend, first weekend of June, and I think the 24-hour Le Mans is the second weekend of June. So
yeah, actually it was an exciting week. I forget who it was. Was Denny Hamlin or something? He bumped Ross Chastain last weekend.
Yes.
And most of the time they go, it was just a racing thing, or he took the wind off my, know, but he actually came out and said he deserved it. And I did it.
Yeah.
On his podcast. And guess what? He got fined huge.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's what happens. I mean, you got, especially today, I may have leaned on other race cars before.
Right.
And you don't broadcast that.
No, exactly. That's not what it's about. But people like to see the excitement. If car just went around and nobody touched, you'd have a lot less drivers.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
lot less people watching. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody would watch that. And yeah, so NASCAR is at the Cup is at Atlanta Motor Speedway tomorrow. So that'll be exciting. But I'm looking forward to Circuit of the Americas when NASCAR is there, because Trackhouse, mm-hmm. Ross Chastain's team, is bringing back Kimi Raikkonen, the Formula One world champion, to drive their Project 91 car.
What do you think will happen?
Well, like last time, Kimi just got, he was in the middle of the pack and got taken out. I'd like to see, it's the new car is something that any driver can adapt to relatively easily. I mean, it's not like the old cars were, which are really difficult. The new cars are easier to drive. So Kimi should be able to get up to pace. The question is whether he can get out of the mess of that mid-pack sort of nonsense.
And I kind of wonder about the driver's mentality, because that was always, you know, a good old boy kind of thing too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was why Danica really had a problem. She couldn't really succeed because, you know, it's such a closed group of a redneck kind of people.
It is.
And it's like, if you ain't one of us, you're an enemy.
There's,
you know?
there's some of that. I think less so now, especially with the new car.
I remember Juan Pablo used to always whine about that.
Yes.
I mean, they'd bump him out for no particular reason.
Yeah, for no good reason.
Well, he's from Europe, eh?
Colombian.
Even worse.
Yeah, but, you know, he's successful in Formula One, successful in Champ Car. And, they didn't really like him. But, you know, who knows? I like the competition. I like the new car on road courses. That is one of my favorite things to watch these days, and of course I'm a fan of Trackhouse.
Yeah, they've added themselves to lots of road courses rather than just the ovals.
That's right, and they're racing on the streets of Chicago this mm-hmm. year as well. It's a big year for NASCAR.
Yeah. But
and of course Formula One tomorrow, Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
more drama, I'm sure.
Did Lewis get a new crew chief?
There
was some change I saw.
I don't know the whole story. I don't know any of the backstory. So the leadership is still the same at Mercedes AMG, mm-hmm. and it's still Lewis and his teammate George Russell. But they're performing a little bit better than they did last year. Mm-hmm. Ferrari is carrying on with the disaster that was last year, and Red Bull is simply dominating.
I always find that weird, where, you know, because Red Bull doesn't make motors, right?
No,
they're buying them from.
Well, they've kind of brought that in-house now. So it's the old Honda power unit, and they've brought all that in-house. So they've got Red Bull powertrains or something now.
Well, right. I mean, if I'm Mercedes or Ferrari and I want everybody to win, you know, I want my team to win,
mm-hmm.
why am I giving my engines to someone else?
Well, those are the rules. So, for example, Aston Martin runs the Mercedes AMG power unit,
mm-hmm.
and they finished on the podium with Fernando Alonso at the first race a couple of weeks ago.
Well, again, I mean, this is where the driver obviously has something to do with it.
That's the thing. Fernando Alonso can take a ratty old car and drive it way above its station.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, that's the complaint now with a lot of the NASCARers saying, like Tony Stewart just had a story, because Tony could just steal a car from the parking lot.
That's right.
Enter it into the race.
That's right.
And win.
Yes.
Because he could just handle the car. He could manhandle it. He could make it do things that nobody else could. But you can't do that with this car of tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, whatever they call this new car, it's more like a sports car than anything else. It's a departure from what NASCAR has been using.
Yes.
And it uses a lot of common parts. So
yes.
Teams don't build their own stuff anymore.
Well, they're trying to. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Hendrick just had to pay
that's true.
$500,000, I think, because they decided they wanted to change something, just a slight modification.
Sure. Yeah, can't quite do that.
All right, I want to thank our guest, Dale Robinson, of course, from AutoWatch. If you got a high-end car, if you got any kind of car that's on the hot stolen list, you want to get one of his devices installed.
Yeah.
And Kenny Upol.
Yeah, Troy.
Right.
Yeah, we got it. If you need parts, go see Kenny Upol. And, of course, we had our friend Dave Pratt from Speed Academy.
I wonder if you could find your stolen car at Kenny Upol's yacht.
How bad would that be?
That's my car. Well, he'll sell you the whole thing.
Right, exactly.
All right, thank you very much, Carlos, too, for doing a great job. And everybody tuning in, drive safe. It looks like it's starting to snow outside. All those people who called me to take off their tires, I'm still happy to do that. But anyways, drive safe, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.